From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla Daroche. Coming up this week, Fish and Game will see more cuts again next year under Governor Walker's proposed budget. In Southeast, the Dungeness crab season was kind of a bust, and the GHL for the Sitka Sound Sacro herring fishery has been set. All that and watch out for funny money if you tie up in Dutch, coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
Governor Bill Walker proposed cutting about 45 positions and $3.5 million from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's 2018 budget last week, significantly smaller than the $11.5 million in cuts over the past 2 years. But Walker's proposal calls for no additional changes to the agency's southeast operations. KSTK's Aaron Bolton reports.
Fish and Game has taken about a 36% cut to its dedicated state funding over the past 2 years. The Commercial Fisheries Division is one of the more susceptible divisions to state budget cuts. State funding is its largest revenue source. Southeast fishery funding under Walker's proposal remains about the same as in the 2017 budget. Commercial Fisheries Director Scott Kelly says the division would be able to sustain its southeast operations under the proposal.
Basically, the projects across the board that we've got in Southeast Alaska for Commercial Fisheries Division are going to be the same as what we had in this fiscal year.
The budget calls for 4 Southeast commercial fishery positions to be eliminated. Kelly noted that will be done through attrition, but says more positions could be cut after the budget is finalized.
As you well know, there were special sessions, and ultimately things were very different from the governor's request. The FY17 request is not what the FY17 management plan and the allocations look like, so things could change is the bottom line.
Kelly says the Commercial Fisheries Division cut 45 positions statewide over the past 2 years. Most of those positions were eliminated last year.
We basically look at each and every position as it becomes vacant.
Commercial Fisheries also stopped collecting data in 2015 for several southeast herring fisheries that haven't opened in recent years. Herring fisheries near Craig and Sitka are still being managed. Several other projects were on the chopping block as well.
And it included a golden king crab observer project, some miscellaneous shellfish dive assessment, quite a bit less aerial surveys, some additional herring cuts that we talked about already, and then some personnel cuts.
Fish and Game's Sport Fishing and Wildlife Conservation Divisions don't expect any major changes during the next fiscal year. Both divisions are primarily funded through national taxes on fishing and hunting gear. Hunting and fishing license fee increases will also take effect in January. Hunting licenses about doubled and sport fishing licenses increased $5, up from $24. Net sales for tags and licenses were at about $29.5 million in 2015. Both divisions took large state funding cuts over the past 2 years, but tax revenue and license fees have been able to supplement those losses. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Aaron Bolton.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Commercial Dungeness crab fishing in southeast Alaska this fall turned out to be below average in both harvest and participation, and below what managers expected for the season. Fishing closed in most areas of the panhandle on November 30th. KFSK's Angela Denning reports.
The fall harvest was approximately 403,000 pounds. That's about 150,000 less than last year.
It's definitely down from previous years.
Kelly Wood is a crab biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. She says they've seen harvests like this before, but it's been a while.
We have been lower, but I believe it was in the 90s.
Wood says the harvest is far below the 5-year fall average of 732,000 pounds. About 1/5 of the year's harvest comes in the fall. This year was just a little below that. Wood says the recent average is a bit skewed when you consider 2014. It was an unusually good year, seeing the third highest fall harvest on record since the 1960s. That fall, fishermen harvested about 1 million pounds.
It was a big year, so anything in comparison is going to seem really small.
This fall, prices were similar to the last few years, averaging $3.07 per pound. The value of the fall fishery is about $1.3 million, which is below the five-year average of nearly $2 million. The combined summer and fall season catch is worth over $7 million at the docks this year. That's also below the recent average. As far as crab numbers, Wood says managers expected a lower year.
We're definitely on a downward trend for the cycle. Hopefully it'll pick up here pretty soon. But it was expected that it would be lower, considering how two years ago was the highest. And so we're on that downward swing for sure.
Even though managers expected a lower year, they still predicted a much stronger harvest for the combined summer and fall fisheries. They estimated a harvest of 3.01 million pounds, but are ending up with about 2.28 million pounds. Wood says that's pretty normal.
We typically overshoot on average. Every once in a while, you know, our estimate will be under what was actually harvested.
But nothing of concern, no concern of over-harvesting or anything?
No, we don't have any concerns. Especially it seems to be following that, you know, cyclical pattern.
To get a better estimate, managers would need more information. While there were Dungeness stock assessment surveys done in the early 2000s, there are none now. Wood says there's just not enough staff or money for it. So scientists are left with harvest data to monitor the population. They know that the crab are on a 4 to 5 year life cycle, and the commercial fishery sees the population fluctuate.
Seems like every 10 years, maybe we have a big pop for whatever reason. It's hard to say. Every 5 years, we have a little rise and it goes up and down. And then every 10 years, it seems to go up and then come down. So it's we just don't have a lot of information other than following, you know, what the harvest looks like from year to year.
On top of the downward cycle, the crab's yearly timing might be a bit off this year because of the water temperature. Wood says this was the warmest water year in the last decade. They monitor temperatures through gauges on some pots in the Red King Crab Survey.
So the molt timing for crab could be off as well. So that might be why, you know, things have been not as abundant as they normally are. The cycle could be off a little bit. They could have molted earlier or later. We don't know.
Participation in the fall fishery was also down. 115 permit holders reported landings this fall. That's 3 less than last year and over 20 less than the year before. District 8, which includes the Stikine Flats near Wrangell, saw the largest harvest of the fall fishery. Fishermen brought in about 46,000 pounds. Just behind that was District 6, which includes Duncan Canal and the Wrangell Narrows near Petersburg. A few areas near Ketchikan and Sitka remain open to Dungeness crab fishing until the end of February. Then the commercial fishery will remain closed until the summer season, starting June 15th. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
Though the Sitka Sack Row herring fishery is months away, purseiners know how much they're allowed to catch. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced the Guideline Harvest Level, or GHL, earlier this month in a press release. They set the GHL at 14,600 tons, or 20% of the mature biomass. In March, dozens of seiners will descend on Sitka to catch their share. The herring converge along Sitka shorelines to spawn every spring. ADF&G forecasts the total biomass of mature herring will be over 73,000 tons and that the majority of fish will be five-year-olds. Last year, the majority of the fish were four-year-olds. Herring reached sexual maturity at age 3. The department determined the quota using commercial purse seine weights from last spring. Unlike in years past, ADF&G will not run a test fishery this winter and adjust the forecast accordingly. Eric Kunrat, the department's area management biologist, said they didn't need the additional data.
What we found is that it doesn't change things appreciably. It's a very small difference. And so, you know, in trying to save some time and some money, we decided that we would only do this once.
Last year, seiners captured about 2/3 of the quota before ADF&G closed the fishery due to early spawning activity. This is in part because the majority of the fish were 4 years old. Generally, younger fish spawn earlier, and as Kunrat explains, that limits the fishery's profit potential.
And once herring started spawning, we had spawn outs in the mix, and those are not as marketable, or they're not marketable. it's not that the fish weren't there. It's just that with all the caveats that we have to abide by, it made it more difficult.
The herring fishery also closed early in 2012 and 2013. Over the years, Sitka Tribe of Alaska has complained that the commercial fleet is depleting the herring population. With the 2012 and 2013 cohorts in the mix, though, CrewNet is hopeful that the fishery will return to the trend of years past, where there is one big age group.
Kind of in the more recent history, we've had decent years of recruitment kind of annually, and so it looks like we're getting back to this one big cohort pattern.
Last spring, the department mapped 63.3 nautical miles of spawn in the Sitka Sound area. The recent 10-year average is 65 nautical miles. The Sacro herring fishery usually opens in March.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits. Marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Police in the nation's busiest fishing port have arrested and charged two men accused of making counterfeit money. Over the weekend, Unalaska police took into custody Henry Zoblin and Nicholas Huff, who were later charged with fraud. Deputy Police Chief Jennifer Shockley says in her 16 years with the department, this isn't the first case of counterfeit money found in Unalaska.
Typically, nobody has any idea where it came from. You know, somebody paid for something, counterfeit bill got into circulation, and then somebody who's familiar with checking security stuff recognizes it as counterfeit, we get told about it.
Shockley says the police don't normally have more information than that. They'll send the counterfeit bills to the Secret Service and that's it. But this time is different.
Actually, finding people, finding equipment being used for counterfeiting money right here in town is unusual for us.
Officers were tipped off about the alleged counterfeiting operation while investigating a burglary and theft. Police found counterfeiting supplies as well as forged U.S. currency at Zoblin's residence. The equipment police found, Shockley says, is commonly available to the average citizen. In a statement to police, Zoblin said he has been photocopying money for 1 to 2 months. He says he's been practicing and getting better, but it was just for fun. He also stated that Huff has been giving him tips on making more accurate counterfeits more easily. The investigation is still open. Shockley says there's at least one more person of interest in the case. If anyone has counterfeit money in their possession, Shockley encourages them to bring it to the police station, especially if they know where it came from. The Coast Guard medevaced a fisherman from the Shelikof Strait last weekend. On Sunday morning, the captain of the fishing vessel Transit sent a request for assistance to Coast Guard Sector Anchorage, saying that a crew member was experiencing seizure-like symptoms. Watchstanders dispatched a Coast Guard Air Station Kodiak MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter to the location. Once there, they hoisted the 37-year-old fisherman and flew him to Kodiak, where emergency medical services personnel took over. According to a Coast Guard press release, weather during the time was reported as 7-mile-per-hour winds with choppy seas and 12 miles of visibility. The fisherman's identity was not released.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KSTK's Aaron Bolton in Wrangell, KFSK's Angela Denning in Petersburg, KCAW's Emily Kwong in Sitka, and KUCB's Zoe Sobel in Unalaska. Our producer is Jay Barrett. From KMXT, I'm Kayla DeRoche.